The question was asked, can a person do a transgression and everyone else will be punished? Because we have examples in Tanakh where that certainly seems to be the case. Adam eats from the forbidden fruit, Eve eats from the forbidden fruit, and forever people are punished. It doesn't seem that way. It seems like part of what happens because Adam eats from the forbidden fruit is a natural outcome, and part of what happens is a punishment. And the part that is a natural outcome, so he altered, let's say, the genetics of mankind from that point onward. Let's take an example. If a parent drinks alcohol, if a woman drinks alcohol while she's pregnant and the baby is born with birth defects, she did that to him. It's no different than a parent takes a knife and cuts off their child's ear. They did that to them, right? So it's true that we can affect things in a certain way. But we don't view that as being punished for what someone else did, that someone else was able to do something, right? So by the same token, death coming to the world was, the Ran explains, that was not a punishment. That was a natural evolvement, a natural procession, and that's why Hashem doesn't say that in the punishment. After Adam eats from the forbidden fruit, what does he get cursed? He gets told, "Bezeata pecha tochalechem, you're going to sweat to eat bread." Until you, Hashem says, the land is cursed because of you. You will have to suffer when you work the land. Well, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Shabbos that if a person merits zacham, he doesn't have to do the work. He has workers doing all the work for him. He could sit and learn in an air-conditioned based medrash, and he'll have workers doing all the work for him. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gets a tree that grows right next to his cave. He gets a stream of water, and he doesn't have to work for his parnasa. So when a person merits to be on a high level, he doesn't have those punishments. That's not to say he won't die. Metu bet yoshen nachash. People do die because of what happened with Adam and Eve. But that's a natural outcome. That's not a punishment. And the same thing, it says that tzadikot, the righteous women, are not bepitkan shel chava, the Talmud says. The righteous women don't suffer. And I could tell you that I know women who did not sense childbirth. Mm-hmm. It's a known thing. And when I went to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, my wife was in her ninth month, and I was going to an engagement of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's top student, and my wife said to me, get a bracha from Rav Eliyahu, it should be an easy delivery. So his blessing to my wife was, she should be with the righteous women who do not fall under the curse of Eve. So our assumption is that if we get the products of what Adam and Eve did, it's because we deserve it. It's not because they did it. So that's with regards to the story of Adam and Eve. Now we move forward to your next question of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that because what Avram did, we ended up in Egypt. So our sages say that the whole exile could have been as pleasant as the first 190 years. The first 190 years of the 400 years were spent in Israel. We weren't suffering. Hashem says that it'll take 400 years till you inherit the land. Part of those years you'll suffer. How many and how much suffering doesn't say. That was defined by our actions. The Talmud, again, in Tractate Shabbos, tells us that it was because of the enmity, the sinat chinam, between Joseph and his brothers, that things ended up being so dismal. But technically, Tosfos over there explains, we could have done the whole 400 years. The decree did not specify how much we would suffer. Now we move forward to your third example of Moshe Rabbeinu not entering the land of Israel and that impacting everyone. So on the one hand, there's accuracy in the claim that we have potential to do good for the world. And when we transgress and we diminish ourselves, we not only hurt ourselves, but we hurt the world. That's true. That's a concept we learned in Rav Moshe Cordoviro in the Tomer Dvorah. We learned that concept in Rav Harlap's writings, we discussed it. That's definitely true, that when I affect myself, when I grow the potential of doing good to the world, I grow the whole world at large. Everyone benefits when I'm a better person. It's not just me. And when I'm building myself, so I'm building all of Am Yisrael. That's true. But to say people are punished because of it, well, the example you gave is that because Moshe didn't enter the land of Israel, the temple would not be eternal, because anything Moshe built would be eternal. Well, the Talmud brings that example as an example of God's kindness to us. It says that Hashem knew that if Moshe would build the temple, it would be indestructible. And Moshe already forewarns us that we will transgress. So what happens if we transgress and the temple can't be destroyed? So then where will the punishment land? Our sages say, Ki la'apo, Hashem wiped out his anger, aleitzim v'avanim. His anger went on bashing the temple instead of bashing us. So had Moshe entered, it would have had certain benefits, but ultimately it would have been harmful to the Jewish people. So that's an example specifically of where we were not punished because of Moshe. So that's what I said. Each example has to be analyzed, but the general rule is that each person gets what they deserve. It is true that sometimes because someone does something, there's a potential for punishment in the world. There's a potential for hurt to come into the world. But the place where that potential will be materialized, the place where it will be realized, is by the people who deserve it. And our sages point that out with the story of Avshalom. That when King David transgressed with Bathsheba, so Hashem cursed him. Hashem said to him, there's going to be evil from within your house, Hashem said to David. And your wives are going to be violated, Hashem says to David. Well, when you look down the road, you see the pasuk says, Ve'avshalom sam lo yad. Avshalom made for himself a monument. Our sages say the monument was his monumental action of taking that whole curse and saying, I'll do it. Meaning the curse was hovering. The question was, who's going to live up to being that vile individual who violates his father's wives, who tries to kill his father, right? All the curses that were there. So Avshalom became that monument. Our sages teach us there that concept that sometimes the curse is there. It's just a question of who's gonna do it. And that's the same way that our sages interpret what Moshe says, that I know after I die you guys will become pagans. I know some of you will pursue paganism. So the sages ask, how could Moshe say that? We all have free will. Right, Moshe didn't say who would pursue paganism. He said, in the course of time, some of you will be attracted in that route. Now it's up to us. Am I going to be the person Moshe prophesied good about or bad about? Well, that's up to me.